You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This was the week, of course, that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg went to Washington to testify to Congress about how Cambridge Analytica accessed user data. He was also asked about what role Facebook played in the 2016 elections, specifically Russian advertising and influence.
Congresswoman, we announced a change in how we're going to review ads and big pages so that now, going forward, we're going to verify the identity and location of every advertiser who's running political or issue ads or and the identities.
Good. We'd like you to get back to us with a timeline on that.
No, that will be in place for these elections.
But it's not your average Russian buying ads or posting fake news. And we wanted to learn more about how most Russians do use the internet and how the Kremlin controls that. So we brought in Nina Jankowicz, a global fellow at the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center. Welcome.
Lizzie, thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about how people access and use the internet in Russia. We've been thinking about Russians on the internet from our perspective, but how do they do it?
Yeah, well, there's about 76% internet penetration in Russia, which actually I was surprised to find out is pretty on par with the United States. Countries like the UK have about 90 or a bit higher, but the US and Russia, I guess by, you know, virtue of our size and both population and geographically, are at about 76%. Most people access the internet through their mobile phones. Mobile phone service is pretty cheap and fairly reliable in Russia. And I would say, in general, internet is more widely used in more populous areas, in big cities or more populous regions in Russia.
You mentioned mobile phones, but I am curious, when people are getting online, are they sort of seeing free and unfettered internet, or are they dealing with controls from the Kremlin?
There are a lot of controls, and I would say that's one thing that really characterizes the Russian internet. In fact, just this week in the Russian Duma, the parliament, they passed a first reading of a new law that would impose even more restrictions on the Russian internet. And I think this is kind of to give them the legal cover they need to block any and all content at any time if they want to. Of course, Russians are pretty clever and, in general, are able to use VPNs and things like that to get around these blockages that the Russian government puts in place. The Russian internet censor has blocked, I think, hundreds of thousands of websites, and it has even blocked the use of VPNs, but it hasn't been able to enforce that blockage yet.
Well, yeah, one of the issues has been companies having their servers in Russia. I mean, this was an issue with the messaging app Telegram. They've been refusing to host their servers in Russia, and I'm curious, how have other companies dealt with this?
So it's been a bit of a give and take here with the Kremlin. Famously, LinkedIn a couple of years ago refused to host their servers in Russia and was blocked. They were blocked kind of, I think, to make a spectacle out of them. Telegram, the FSB is actually asking for the encryption keys as well, because this is an encrypted messaging app. So they're asking for the encryption keys, saying that a terrorist attack on the metro was planned using Telegram, and that's why they need those encryption keys. Telegram is refusing to give them to the FSB because each conversation is encrypted end-to-end, so that would be millions of keys on every user's phone. It's actually technically impossible. And now they're threatening to block Telegram in Russia. Now, there exist several VPNs already that are specifically for using Telegram, so it looks like this will be a pretty unenforceable ban.
When we in the U.S. think about Facebook and other social media sites, but often Facebook and Russia, we, I think, discuss, you know, Russian troll farms and Kremlin-linked groups who are disseminating things on American social media. Is that happening on the Russian internet as well, or is that really directed outward?
Yeah, absolutely. It happens on the Russian internet as well. I would actually say that's where it got its start. In the early days of the Ukraine crisis, the Internet Research Agency was actually mostly directed at spreading propaganda and disinformation about what was going on in Ukraine, not only to Ukrainians, Russian-speaking Ukrainians, but to people in Russia as well. So this is something they perfected at home and in the near abroad before they launched it here in the United States.
And are regular Russians on Facebook and you know, Twitter and other sites like that? Or, are, you know, is that really the work of disinformation groups?
So they're on Facebook and Twitter to a lesser extent. The most popular social media tool in Russia is YouTube, with about 63% of Russians using it. And then after that come two Russian social media sites, ВКонтакте, which means in contact and is kind of like a Russian version of Facebook, actually, which was created by the same guy who made Telegram, Pavel Durov. So interesting fact there. And then there's Одноклассники, which means classmates. And that has about 42% of the Russian internet users on its site. So those are the most popular. Facebook comes in at about 35%. People do use it, but it's nowhere near as popular as ВКонтакте and Одноклассники.
When you think about this stuff going forward, and certainly with the Duma changing rules and the FSB looking at this so carefully, what do you see the future holding for how people get on the internet in Russia and how they communicate?
Well, I think one thing is clear. With all of these rules that the Duma is putting out, basically on a yearly, if not monthly basis, they call the Duma actually the crazy printer in Russia because they are just like printing these laws out like crazy without really any thought about the consequences. They're just a real rubber stamp for whatever the government wants. I think the idea is to create a climate of fear on the internet, or at the very least to increase the costs for normal people. If you have to download and install a VPN, I mean, that's one thing if you're a millennial and you are very adept with using a mobile phone. But for a lot of other Russians, that might be a bit difficult. I know it would be difficult for some of the older folks in my family. And not only that, there have been, I think, hundreds of arrests per year and criminal cases that are led by Roskomnadzor for charges of extremism or terrorist content that are just kind of extremely vague in Russian law and blanket applied to any content on Facebook, ВКонтакте, Instagram. People are put in jail, literally, for liking things on Facebook. So people, I think, are just, they're scared to post anything. Whereas in the United States, you know, the discussions we're having about social media are in order to preserve all our civil discourse online. Russia is doing everything it can to kind of squelch it and ensure that people aren't going to engage in any sort of real conversation or debate.
Nina Jankowicz from the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.